Colossians 1, verse 25. Wherefore I am made a minister. Here's the Apostle Paul. In fact, I'll back up just a little bit here to verse 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake, which is the church, whereof I am made a minister. Paul says, God made me a minister to the church, to the people of God. And he says, I made a minister, verse 25, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. Here's Paul says, you know, this is what God has given to me in this dispensation. He's given me this this opportunity in this time and place to fulfill God's word. We talked last week about being rooted in his will. Rooted in his will. And that's more on a purpose. What does God have for my life? And making sure that I am really seeking his direction and following him. And we learned, among many other things, under the knowledge of the truth. That's what God wants. We have a world out there of over 7 billion people, about 5 of which who don't know the gospel of Jesus Christ. I tell you that even in our survey work on a local level here, and last summer in Rugby through our camp outreach, and going there and surveying again with a little different kind of survey, but utilizing the campers, getting them out there in the field, on the turf, interacting with people with regards to the gospel and where people are. And it's always comes back that so many, the countless numbers, the vast majority, I should say, of people in Rugby, in Harvey, in North Dakota, in the United States of America, do not know how to be saved. Yes, they know about Jesus. They know his name. They know a little bit about him. But when it comes to, well, how does a person get saved? How does a person know? How can a person go to heaven? They don't really know in many cases. And so his mission. You know, it's not God's plan for people to go through their life without knowing. His desire is that people would know. And so when we think about being rooted in his mission, let's go to the book of Acts, chapter 1, and verse 8. Acts, chapter 1. Please notice verse 8. It says, but ye shall receive power. Here's the Lord Jesus talking to his disciples just before he ascends back to heaven. This is after his resurrection. He's been with them for 40 days and now ready to ascend back. And these are some of his last words spoken on this earth. And he says to his disciples, ye shall receive power, verse 8, after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. When the Holy Ghost comes to indwell you and comes upon you, ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. To the uttermost part of the earth. And so rooted in his mission. Lord, I pray that you'd help us this morning. We need your help. Lord, stir our hearts. That we would see the urgency of the hour in which we live, that we would understand the purpose for which you've left us here on this earth. As believers here this morning, those who know Jesus, those who can tell someone else about how to be saved, Lord, help us to recognize that we have an important role in your mission. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be open to exactly what you have for us, that we would be charge forward in your plan with faith and dependence upon you, your provision, your wisdom, your guidance, and your miraculous saving power. Lord, thank you for this opportunity this morning. In Jesus' name, I ask these things. Amen. And so as Jesus spoke to his disciples there, he tells them that they need to be witnesses. With God's power, they will be witnesses. In Jerusalem, that was their hometown. That was their Harvey. That was where they lived. They were to be witnesses in that circle that was close to them, the region in which they were. And then God broadens it. Notice it says there, it says, "You shall be witnesses." What does it say before it says Jerusalem? Both. God's will is not just for us to be a witness to our coworker, just in the area where we live, in our neighborhood, in our town. Although it is. It is. But God says both. God wants us to be a witness in all of North Dakota. An impact. Getting the gospel out. That's what Judea was for them. It was their province. And so God says, I want you to spread the gospel throughout this province, throughout this state. That's my will for you. That's God's plan, that we would carry the gospel, not just locally, but broaden the horizon into the region in which we dwell, of our state. And then God also mentions here Samaria. Samaria was the place that most of the Jewish people didn't want to go. That was the place where, you know, the society was a little rougher. It was, you know, not the place that Jewish people were hoping to move to. Get a job there. No, it was the place they kind of shunned. And there are situations in the dynamics of our day where there's regions not too far from here where it's not the place where most people want to say, hey, let's move there. That's a nice community. Let's go there. You know, there the drug rates are high and the alcoholism is all over. You know, this is the Samaria. This was the neighboring area, the neighboring province. So this would be in direct application more like a South Dakota or something. You know, the people are a little, you know, how South Dakotans are. But anyway, no, I'm kidding. But you know what? Samaria had that flavor of both kind of the outcasts of society, where Jesus said, I need to go through there. And he went through Samaria, not only the region, but the city, the town. But you know what? It's also that neighboring place, like South Dakota, like Minnesota, like that kind of thing, a region removed from us, but yet needing Christ. And so God says, I want you, notice now again, be witnesses unto me, say that word again, be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and now read the next four words, and in all Judea. And how much of Judea? All. God really wants us to saturate not only Jerusalem, but both Judea as well. All. In fact, God says all. That's pretty clear. And then it goes on and says in Samaria. All right? So it's a little lighter on the saturation, you might say, but God still wants us to be involved in getting the gospel to that neighboring region, even where there's people there that aren't liked or whatever. They're not the upstanding folks of society. God says, I want you to take the gospel to them. And unto the uttermost part of the earth. This is God's plan. We know it. We've heard it before. It's called the Great Commission. The Great Commission. Can I ask you, are you rooted in his mission? Are you really taking personally that, hey, I need to not only be a witness in my realm of work and where I live, my neighborhood, and, you know, taking opportunities to be a gospel witness, and through our church being a witness. That's what we do together. God wants his church, his people, his body locally to work together and cooperate to get the gospel to our community, to get the gospel in our state, to get the gospel in neighboring regions, and to get the gospel to the whole earth. If every local body, even if it's a little one like this, if every local body took this great commission seriously, this world would be saturated with the gospel. His mission. His mission. Let's not pass it off on others. Let's not say, well, you know, the big church in Fargo, let's let them do this. They got a good hand on North Dakota, right? Or let's say, you know, let's no, don't pass it off on anybody else. Let's remember our mission. Are we rooted in his mission? And so we must communicate the love of Jesus to a lost world. The love of Jesus. We must communicate, secondly, the truth of the gospel. The truth of the gospel. You see, in our area, that's often what is very vague. They've heard of Jesus. They know he died on the cross. And some of them even would acknowledge that he died on the cross for our sins. But there's a disconnect through the devil, through the enemy, who blinds the hearts and minds of people. And in many cases, people don't really understand the gospel. They don't understand how to be saved. They don't understand. There's a disconnect. Sometimes people are hard-hearted and they don't want to believe. Sometimes people just don't know. They don't know. They're confused. They don't know what they don't know. We got to help them. Through the printed page of good literature, through the printed page of the Word of God, through our personal witness, through the real extended hands of compassion, of the love of Christ to help people and to point them to Jesus. We need to share the love of Jesus, the truth of the gospel. And then number three, the life worth living. People need to see Jesus in us. They need to see that the life we're living, that the life we are living is a life worth living. They need to see that what we have is something they need, something they want. We need to have a consistent witness in our daily life, in a testimony in our community, in a testimony in our workplace, in a testimony in our neighborhood, in our testimony amongst our friends, in our all of these areas. This is critical to the gospel. If our life is compromised and worldly and characterized by addictions and shady business practices, and it's not gonna help the gospel. It's gonna shame the name of Christ. So let's remember what we must communicate. Are you rooted in his mission with this personal involvement? Let's go over to Matthew 28. Matthew 28. Here the Lord Jesus communicates to his disciples again that the power is his. The same thing in Acts 1:8. He says, the power is mine, right? He says, the Holy Spirit, you need to wait for the Holy Spirit. And when he comes, then you'll be able to be the witness you need to be. Without walking in the Spirit, we cannot. Without abiding, without depending on the indwelling Holy Spirit in this in our lives, we won't be the witness he wants us to be. But with him and with a tender heart to follow him, God will help us to take the gospel where it needs to go. And so Matthew 28, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. God says, I have all power, all authority, everything that is needed, all of the resources, all of the ability, I have it all. I have it all, and I want you to go in my strength. You see, God could get the gospel out in many, many different ways, but he has chosen to use witnesses. People who have personal knowledge, personal experience with the saving grace of God. That's what God wants to use, because remember, God is a relational God. And He wants to use fellow man to tell his fellow man about his God who loves him and who died for him. And so, go and tell, God says here, Matthew 28:18, and then now 19. He says, Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. God wants us to go and tell. To go and tell, not stay and hope they come to us. Now we need to, the local church needs to be preaching the gospel. It needs to be the place where people can come and hear the gospel, where we can invite people to events and services and all those things. That's very, very important, and that's an important thing. But God tells us to go and bring them in, to go and tell them about the gospel. And so we need to go and tell. We are His witnesses. Please notice, hold your place there in Matthew, and let's go over to Isaiah. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43, and beginning with verse 10. Isaiah 43, verse 10. God says to His people, He says, "Ye are My witnesses, saith the Lord, and My servant whom I have chosen, that ye may know and believe Me, and understand that I am He. Before Me there was no God formed, neither shall there be after Me. I, even I, am the Lord, and beside Me there is no Savior. I have declared, and I have saved, and I have showed, when there was no strange God among you. Therefore ye are My witnesses, saith the Lord, that I am God. Yea, before the day was, I am He. And there is none that can deliver out of My hand. I will work, and who shall let it?" We are His witnesses. America needs Jesus. America needs a revival. Back to the gospel, back to holy living, back to biblical truth. And you know what? You live in 2017 in America. What will the history books say about this decade? We can just muddle through, pay our bills, drive our cars. Or are we going to live with an eternal perspective? Are we going to really take His mission seriously? Are we going to root in His mission? Personal witness ourselves, sharing the love of Christ, not only through our words, through our testimony of our life. And so go and tell, God says, "Ye are My witnesses." God also wants us to show and teach. To show and teach. We talked about that a little already in our testimony. The Apostle Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said, "Follow Me as I follow Christ." He said, "Follow us as you have us for an example." Right? What kind of an example are you? What kind of an example? To a younger generation, to a new believer, to an unsaved neighbor. What kind of an example? I'll tell you, it's better for us to honor Christ in daily life and not get as much done than to get a whole bunch done and leave a trail of damage in our path. We can't accomplish God's work without the Holy Spirit's power, and that's why every time in the two passages at least that we've read here. God says, my power, you be a witness. My power is what will accomplish the mission through you. And so we are his witnesses. So go and tell, show and tell, show and tell. He says, go ye into all the world and go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Matthew 28, now verse 20, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen. I am with you. He reiterates that. Whose power? Whose mission? How are we going to accomplish it? Whose resources? Go and tell, he says. Show and teach. Teach people about Christ, not only how to be saved, but disciple them. Show them how to walk in obedience. Baptize them, compel them, encourage them, teach them to follow Christ, identifying with Jesus through a public testimony of baptism. Teach them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. God doesn't want just saved, immature Christians. He wants saved children who grow into maturity. He wants people who are faithful. He wants people who don't just know how to be saved, but they know how to be holy. They know what God requires of a man. They're men and women who have grown into a mature Christians with some depth in their walk with God, with the knowledge of the Scriptures. That's what God wants. Go and tell, show and teach, support and serve. Support and serve. As we are rooted in His mission, I have found that I can't be in more than one place at one time. It's rather painful when you try. But I've found that I can have influence in more than one place at one time. Through something written down and sent somewhere. Through an encouraging word or phone call or in prayer. I can have influence worldwide. And through giving. Through practical ways of helping other believers who are seeking to be faithful witnesses themselves, helping other believers to do the work God has called them to do. That's God's design. This togetherness in the bond of Christ, in sound doctrine, in the Word of God, in the fellowship of His body, we work together. We join hands in around truth, around holiness, around His Word, and around His mission. I'm thankful. Just the other day, and I don't even remember the number, and I don't remember when we started keeping the books, but just the other day, I was just working on the financial statement for this annual statement of the church financial statement. I just was looking at something and just on the computer program that we've been using for, like, I don't even know how many years it's been, but I could look back if I took the time. I didn't then, but I clicked on something on the statement and it pulls up all of the things in that category from ever entered, right? And I just saw the number at the bottom. I was doing the missions category, and on the bottom it was 100,000 something or whatever, you know, I don't even remember the number. And I just thought, wow, what's that? You know, and it's like, oh yeah, that goes just back how many years ever since we used that, you know, Microsoft money program or whatever, you know? And it's like, wow, we've given over these, whatever, I don't even know the date, but those years, you know, we've, this little church, this little body. Now, for some people, 100,000 or 100 and whatever, 16,000, you know, maybe it's like, oh, well, you know, that's not that much. But in my record books, you know, I think, wow, in our
ministry. I think, praise God.
And this year, it was just under 11,000 that went out for missions outside of this church. Not money used here in ministry, that just worldwide missions somewhere else. Praise God. You know what? That makes a difference in the Lighthouse Children's Home. Those dollars this Christmas, even though they were just a few from us, you might say, but they touched lives through a loving, God-honoring servant of the Lord who took young people to get some new clothes, who had a Christmas party, and who used those funds. You think of the Bradleys in Ecuador, and even though it's just been a smaller monthly amount, what are we at, 75 or something we send them? I'm not even 100% sure at the moment, but each month that goes out to the Bradleys. And you know, but that makes a difference in Ecuador, in deaf people, in hearing people. Souls are being saved because we've partnered. Giving to the work of the gospel. And so, it has been a few years since I have encouraged specifically the Faith Promise missions. And forgive me for that. That was, many of you have been consistent though in giving to missions. And I just like to encourage you to pick one of these up. I printed these off yesterday and they're I designed them a number of years ago. But it just gives some scripture and things and encourages you to consider what God would have you do in the area of worldwide missions in terms of giving. And so consider what God would have you do. And I would just give a personal testimony and say that for years, before I was even married, that was seven years ago, before I was married, I had started this for a number of years. I don't know how many years. But I've been giving a specific amount monthly for years. And I can say this. If my memory serves me correct, I'm pretty sure this is the case, that every year I have increased it. Every year, by God's grace, by God's help, I've increased it. And you know, an extra 2 cents goes a long way. No, I'm kidding. But it does. No, I'm kidding, but God, by God's grace, it has increased every year, and again this year. And you know, God has been good. God provides. He says, Galatians chapter 6, he says, you know, if you, you'll reap what you sow. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, chapter 9, he says, scripture we read last Sunday morning, he said, you know, he that soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. You'll never outgive God. The Philippians 4:19 passage where Paul writes to the Philippians and says, God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. That's in the context of giving to missions. Paul says, you guys have sacrificed and you have given so that I can preach the gospel. And he says, my God is going to supply your need according to his riches and glory. You see, when we pray and give, and when we live and serve, when we go and tell, when we show and teach, when we support and serve, God is pleased, God is honored with faithful service to his great commission, laboring together. And so, let's go back in closing to Colossians chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1, verse 28. Here the Apostle Paul has said that he's a minister according to, in verse 25, according to the dispensation of God. And then in verse 27, he tells us, he reminds us how it's Christ in you that is the hope of glory. And then he says in verse 28, whom we preach. I preach Christ, he says, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Whereunto I also labor, striving according to his working, which worketh in me mightily. There again, the apostle says, I'm doing God's work, God's way. And he says, God is the worker. God's the real one working here. And he is praising God who worketh in me mightily, Paul says. And so are you rooted in his mission? I would encourage you to consider what God would have you do. I would encourage you to consider in your testimony, how is it? You know, I've found in my life that when I don't have tracts with me or on me, I don't give any tracts out. None. But I have also found that when I have tracts in my vehicle, on my sun visor, John and Romans in the glove box or whatever, when I have some materials, I very often find people to give them to. I'll pull up to Walmart and about to get out and see that tract and stick that in the pocket. And I'll find somebody to give it to. Sometimes we can have a conversation with someone at a coffee shop and talk to them about Christ. Sometimes we just brush shoulders in an aisle and we can say, hey, would you take and read this? Or at a checkout counter or whatever the case may be. God wants you and me to spread the gospel in Jerusalem and in all Judea, and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. So let's go and tell. Let's show and teach, and let's support and serve. Make sure you pray about what God would have you do in the area of missions, in the area of supporting the local work as well. And the Lord bless you. If you've been giving, I know that you have, many of you, and if not all of you, have been giving. And you know, it has really helped my wife and I, as I said, to consider that and to be specific and then trust God to provide. And he always has, every time. Lord, thank you for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for your power working in us to be the witnesses that we should be. Lord, help us to be sensitive to souls. Lord, heaven is a real place. It's a beautiful place. It's an awesome place that we look forward to dwelling with you forever in. But Lord, hell is a real place. Hell is an awful, horrible place that real people are headed to. Help us to be soul sensitive, Savior sensitive. That we would recognize that you desire all men to be saved and to come unto a knowledge of the truth. Help us to recognize the mission of which you have called us to be a part. Lord, I thank you for the opportunities you've given us in this life. May we be found faithful. In Jesus' name, amen.